Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Good. It's great to see you all. We are starting a brand new series on prayer. It's going to be a four-week series, but it's going to be spread over 6 weeks. We have a Youth Sunday in there. We also have a Father's Day. And then in the midst of all of that, somewhere my eldest daughter is getting married. So, you know, I fancy myself not much of a crier, I would say. But don't laugh at me, Lloyd, over here, is a father of two daughters. But the last little while in my life, I would say that any time that I've gone to like a wedding reception and there's like a daddy-daughter dance, it's getting me, friends. It's like, it's really getting to me. And then, but my hope, my expectation is that I've cried all my tears already. You know what I mean? It's like just watching these situations and then I feel like I'll be fine and people are asking me, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't actually know. I know that I'm paying for this situation. But so even though we're talking about prayer, so maybe my ulterior motive is to get you to pray for me over this next little season. But we're going to spend a little time talking about prayer. It's a necessary constant in our life. And when we think about prayer, it's really an important thing. It's really communication with God. And when we think about communicating with our loved ones, it shouldn't be a hard and difficult thing to think about the vitality of our relationship with God would be through communication. Just like any good marriage, any good relationship, communication is at the core, at the center of it. And it would be the same way as it relates to our relationship with God, that we'd be training ourselves to pray. Now, again, if you've been around a little bit of a while, we're going to be maybe hitting on some things that you already know. Maybe if you're new to church, this will be sowing some seed for you or maybe teaching you some new things. But every year at the church, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about prayer. Again, just to maybe a refresher or a starting place so that we can understand and then have confidence in our own prayers. And not just in our own prayers, obviously confidence in God. But to know that I know how to pray is a really important thing and not to think, well, I have to get someone else to pray for me. I have to get Pastor Brent to pray for me. And again, I'm happy to pray for you, and the prayer of agreement is a really important thing. It's something we do every Sunday. But at different times in your life, you're going to be by yourself. You're not going to have access to someone else for them to pray for you. And it's good to know for us how to pray, how to actually approach the throne of God. And what does God say about prayer and his word? And this is what we want to do. We want to know what the word of God says. We don't want to just be coming up with ideas and, well, I guess this is what prayer is. And we don't want to be praying foxhole prayers. And what foxhole prayers are is you find yourself in a tight situation, a difficult situation, and then you're starting to negotiate with God. You're like, God, I'll stop doing this or I'll do this if you just do this for me. And, you know, that's not a biblical prayer, and we want to understand what the word of God says so that we can actually pray effectively. Because really, we have the life of God flowing through our lives, through our body. The reason that we live and breathe is because God has empowered us to live, and so we should want to relationally be in touch with him so that we can understand his heart and mind and to be praying the things that he's asking us to pray. So prayer should become a habit, a practice, a response in our lives. And it should be something that just fits into our lives normally, just like communicating with our loved ones does. And it's not just for people who are early risers. You know, sometimes we think, well, prayer can only be done in the morning, and praise God for people that are early morning risers. And for the rest of you, maybe you're like, I can't get up in the morning, so I guess I can't pray. No, you don't get to opt out of prayer just because you're not a morning person. That prayer actually can be integrated into our lives every day, all of the time. And it is this conversation with God. It's communion. It's not just me asking for stuff. It is communion with God. It is being in a relationship with God. And then we know that God will speak to us. Now, he's going to speak to us two ways. He's going to speak to us from his word, and then he's going to be speaking to us by his spirit, which agrees with his word. And this is why it's important, but we start out with the word of God, because the word of God will help us to understand the things that the spirit of God says and the things that God does, so that I can identify the spirit of God as he's speaking to my heart. That the spirit of God is not going to say something to my heart in contrary contrary to the word of God. So these two things align, the word and the spirit align. So the more I familiarize myself with the word of God, I know that the spirit of God is gonna be speaking these things to my heart. So as we go through this, we're gonna see and understand and be thankful for answer prayer. We're gonna maybe get some questions answered about unanswered prayer. You know, sometimes people, when we talk about prayer, they've sort of given up on prayer because maybe they've asked God for something and it didn't come to pass or it didn't work out as they thought it should. But the Word of God actually has some answers for us as it relates to these things, and hopefully these will get answered as we go through the series. And then also thank God for answered prayer, but then also thank God for being part of an answer to someone else's prayer, that we would always be open to the Spirit of God. Again, this prayer life is about a communication with God, that God could be speaking to my heart about helping somebody else as it relates to the prayer that they are praying. And this would be in conjunction with the prayer life in general. This is how God wants to operate in our lives, that we would be asking for things that he wants us to ask for, and then we would be available to be the answer to someone else's prayer. So we're going to learn ways to pray, learn ways not to pray, and then as we go through this, we'll catch the spirit of prayer, which is the most important thing. Now, when we think about prayer, sometimes we think prayer is, you know, for special people in the body of Christ, and or we think it maybe is like some sort of gift, but really prayer is for everybody. There's no such thing of somebody that has a gift of prayer. Now, some people might give themselves more to prayer than others, but all of us can pray. I one time in the church many years ago, a guy came up and he handed me his business card, and on the description of his business card, it said intercessor. And I'm like, bro, it's not actually a gift. It's like all of us can intercede, but it's not some sort of designation in the body of Christ that all of us can pray. Now, under the category of praying, intercession is one of those things. And prayer is going to be defined different ways in the scripture. And again, this is something we can all do. It's not a special gifting in the body of Christ. Communication with your loved ones is not a special gifting. And it's the same way prayer is available to all of us to be in this relationship with God. So words that are under the heading of prayer, one of them is supplication. Now, supplication, as we see, as we're going to read through some scriptures today, and we're going to see supplication named. And really, that is a wanting need. And that just means there's a specific need that I or somebody that I know or a family member has, and we're praying for that need to be met. Intercession is a go-between on the behalf of others. And really what it means to intercede on someone else's behalf, it's somebody else who's not praying or somebody else who doesn't have a relationship with God, that you are going to God on their behalf. So you are this go-between. Thanksgiving, praise and worship. The scripture George read this morning, you know, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This thanksgiving and praise is all under the category of prayer. And this is why the whole first part of our service is really prayer to God. It's worshiping him. It's coming to God with a grateful heart. And this is such an important part of prayer. Again, it should be sort of the starting place of our prayer, as we'll see today, that we shouldn't, as it relates to our prayer time, when we go to talk to God, the first thing that we should be saying to God is not, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want it done by Thursday, see you tomorrow. Like that's not a proper attitude that we should take in prayer. Our starting place should be thankfulness. Our starting place should be praise. Thank God for what you've done in my life. Thank God that I get to breathe. Thank God that I get to live. Thank God for all the provision in my life. And when we start out there, then we don't have this sort of entitlement attitude in our prayer life, because we didn't qualify for the things that God gives us in prayer because we're so good, because we're not. Answered prayer comes because of the finished work of Jesus. So God gives us answered prayer by his grace. And so we're not entitled to the things that God gives us. And so we would come with a grateful heart. A prayer of faith. We see this in the book of James. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, in one sense, all praying should be done in faith. In other words, we believe that God is hearing us. We believe that we're asking according to the will of God, which we'll talk about today. But there's no point in praying as it's like, well, you know, Pastor Brent told me to pray, so here I am, God, and I'm asking for this. I don't really think anything is going to happen, but I'll ask anyway. In Jesus' name, amen. That is a prayer full of doubt. We shouldn't be praying that way. We should be praying in faith, trusting God, knowing who God is, that we can come boldly and ask for the things that he said that we can ask for. The prayer of consecration. And really this one means dedicating something or someone to the Lord. And we do child dedication. This is what we're doing. We're consecrating. We're setting apart something, some person for the purposes of God. Now, again, all of these words are under the category of prayer, and we can do these things. We are in the family of God. Amen? And as we train ourselves to pray and to think about prayer, it will just become a natural thing in our lives, as opposed to thinking, oh, okay, I got to pray. I got to jump into King James English right now or something, or I got to, you know, screw up my faith somehow or whatever, you know, all of these maybe traditional things that, no, it just should be natural communication with God. The way you're talking to your loved ones is the way, unless you're mean, the way you're talking to your spouse is the way that you would talk to God. Just, it's the person in my life whom I love. And so this is what prayer would be. And it should be a constant thing in our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, pray without ceasing. Now, again, what does this mean? Does this mean, well, I can't, you know, work my job or raise my kids? I can't do all of these other things because God is wanting me to pray all of the time. No, it's not so much the literal phrase. It means that we should constantly maintain this posture of prayer, that there's situations and circumstances and things that we will see in our lives and in the lives of others that our first response in these situations should be to pray. And we need to be aware that more things need our prayers than need our opinions, right? We all have opinions. Do you have any opinions? I mean, I got lots of opinions about a lot of different things. But, you know, when we think about opinions are like dandelion spores. They're just like, they're everywhere all the time. They're just, you know, because of social media, everyone just, we're just voicing our opinions all of the time. And here's what I think. We just expend all of this energy on my opinions and my thoughts. But things need our prayers more than they need our opinions. And really our opinions, there is no value to a situation, again, other than just me spewing things. But when we see a situation, circumstance that maybe captures our heart or captures our attention or elicits passion in our heart, instead of just offering an opinion to somebody that's standing beside me or online, whatever the case may be, that we would give that same amount of energy to pray. Because God is asking us to pray without ceasing. It should be the thing that this we just maintain this open communication with God. See, Nicole and I have a constant communication. It's just a normal thing for us to do, to either call each other or text each other. And generally, she ignores my calls. And then she calls me back 10 seconds later. I'm like, why didn't you just answer? Anyway, that's a marriage thing between her and I. But we are always open to talking to each other, right? We're always available for each other. And this is the same way as it relates to prayer. Pray without ceasing. It's something that we should always do. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So we see that these things go hand in hand when we pray. Should be something we continue to do, and then we're going to pray with thanksgiving. We should never have any prayer that doesn't have some sort of thanksgiving in it, just gratefulness to God. But we should continue steadfastly, not give up. Because sometimes we pray for things and we ask for things and there's a delay or things don't work out in the timing that I think. And so there could be disappointment as it relates to prayer. But we need to continue to pray. And then it says this, being watchful. This is such an important component to prayer. It's being aware. As you walk through life, as you attend church on Sunday, as you walk through the grocery store in your neighborhood, again, there's situations that more than need your opinion, need your prayer. That you would express energy and passion to God, that we would pray according to his will for the things that we see. Be watchful, be aware. Have you ever seen a difficult situation? You're driven by a car accident, or you know somebody you see at church, or randomly, you know, throughout the week, you would think of a relative or somebody, and you would think, oh, I wonder what my aunt is doing. And instead of just going to Instagram, it's like, oh, look, she had a birthday party. Cool. We would think maybe the Holy Spirit is bringing up my aunt for more than just looking at her Instagram. Maybe I should pray for my aunt. See, there's people that you know that only you can pray for, and there's people that I know that only I can. I can't necessarily pray for the people who are in your life. You know who they are, and the Holy Spirit will bring those people to your attention, but we need to be watchful, be aware. Who is the Holy Spirit bringing up to me? What situation are in the world? There's grand situations happening in the world, and there's situations happening in Canada and the Middle East and Europe and all over the world, and all of these things could be overwhelming to us. Instead of just, again, offering our opinions, and here's what I think, and here's what I think, and here's what I think, and here's what I think that they should do, and if they do the thing that I thought that they do, they would be fine. Instead of doing that, we would pray. The things that are highlighted to me, the things that God is showing me, that I wouldn't carry the weight of all of these burdens, but I would be praying what God is illuminating to my mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this, praying at all times. Now again, what does that mean? Does that mean we can't do other things in life? No, it just means we would be always in the posture of prayer. In the spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert, be watchful, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is something we can do, something we did this morning. Our friends in the church, well, they have a need. Again, a supplication is a wanting need, a necessary thing in life. So what we would do, we would go and we would ask. We're talking to God about those things, not just offering opinions, but saying, God, I'm inviting you into this situation. We need your help here. We need your power at work here. Praying at all times for the saints. And this would characterize the things that we would do. Amen? We know that when we pray, that the majority of our praying really should be done alone. Jesus talks about this right before he talks about the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. That, you know, going into our prayer closet. Now that could actually be a closet. Really, it just means somewhere alone. It could be in your car, you could be praying, that just some time alone with God. But then there's also times in the Word of God that we see people are praying for each other and praying publicly. These are things that we can do for and with each other. We have to train ourselves to respond with prayer. Someone said this phrase, and I really like it, that prayer needs to be our first response and not our last resort. We can't just be going through life and it's like this and this and this, and you've exhausted all of your ideas and you called in all your favors and nothing works, and you're like, well, I guess we should pray. No, it should be like, we're gonna pray first. Here's something has come up. There's a situation. I'm being watchful. I'm being aware of what's going on. God, we're inviting you into this situation, that we would pray first, not pray last. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Now, there's lots of things in life. If you watch the news for more than 5 minutes, lots of things in life to be anxious about. But here the scripture is telling us that we shouldn't live in this place of anxiousness, fearful about the future, fearful about circumstances. What is the antidote for the fear in my life? Instead of being anxious about everything, but in everything, in all things, in all situations, hence the name of this series, we should pray. Be in constant contact with God. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we see these things go together. Let your requests be made known to God. Instead of worrying, what are we gonna do? We're gonna pray. See, energy is given out regardless. We're either gonna be anxious and be worrying, or we can spend the same amount of time inviting God into the situation. asking God for his wisdom, asking God for his help, for his power, instead of just worrying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do about this situation and that situation. Wringing your hands, being upset. Instead of that, what is the word of God telling us to do? To respond in prayer. Every situation we talk to God about. Now listen, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That the peace of God follows us praying. See, sometimes we hold ourselves in anxiousness and we keep ourselves out of the peace of God. But if we have this anxious heart, God wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to him, to commune with him, and the peace of God. These things go together. Why am I so fearful? Why am I so anxious all the time? Well, instead of remaining there, let's pray. And when we pray, we see the peace of God as the response. Because I know that God is working now, right? That I don't have to work it out. I don't have to figure it out. We sang about that today, that God is working on our behalf. That I don't have to carry the burden of all of these things. I'm turning them over to God. Now we're going to see in verse 8 here, these things are closely related, our thought life and our prayer life. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and heard, received and heard in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is talking about the practice of prayer and then the practice of a disciplined mind. These things really go together and they're so important. The other day, I was scrolling through something and I was just on there for a few seconds and everybody that I scrolled through was mad about something. Do you know what I'm talking about? They were frustrated and angry and I was just like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I need to think about something else. And this is what the word of God is telling us to do. Hey, instead of being anxious, pray. And then, what are you thinking about? Where are we deciding to keep our thoughts? Because all of us can have anxious thoughts, can have thoughts come our way, but instead of just letting those things linger in our mind, we have to be intentional and purposeful about what I'm gonna meditate on. Because all of those things can keep me in anxiousness, nervousness. But instead of that, I'm gonna, man, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, these are the things that I'm gonna meditate on. And then I'm gonna experience peace. I pray, have a disciplined mind, and then we will experience the peace of God. Amen? Here's something else that's really important as it relates to prayer is aligning with God's will. Now, when we think about prayer, prayer doesn't just start with what I want. One of my Bible school instructors, she had a poster up on our wall, and it was a representation of prayer. And what it was a set of gears. Now, gears is just sort of round circles that have teeth. And when gears spin, it spins another gear, and another gear is connected to it, and another gear. And then what this picture had, it had gears starting in heaven that were rotating, and they would come all the way down to earth, and then earth would rotate those gears all the way back up to heaven. In other words, effective and good praying starts with the will and word of God, not my will. Not just what I want, but what does God say? And prayer starts with what God says that we should ask for, not just the thing that I could come up with and dream up. And again, this is where a lot of frustration is sometimes as it relates to prayer, is that people are just starting with, well, this is what I want, and God, I need it, and I need it by this time. And then again, frustration comes in there. But here, the scripture tells us, clarifies this so important for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now again, you could take a few of these words out of context and just say, if we ask anything, well, anything what? Anything according to his will, and his will is the word of God. These two things align. Let's continue reading verse 15. And if we know he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know we have the request we have asked of him. Now it's not just the any old whatever we ask, it's the whatever we ask in alignment with the word of God. So our part is aligning with the word of God. God, what do you say? That's the thing that I ask for. Effective and good praying starts in heaven. It doesn't start in earth. It starts in heaven with the will of God, with the word of God. And that's what I should be praying back to God, the things that he told us to pray for. Amen? It's such an important thing to know. So our part is the alignment part. God, what do you say? What do you say about my situation? What promise can I find in the word of God that I should pray back to you? Because praying, effective praying, starts in heaven. It doesn't start on earth. Now, when we think about prayer, a lot of these times, one again, that's one of the things that people will be disappointed in praying, just praying with their will. And the other thing is timing. So our part is the asking. Our part is the alignment with the word of God. The other part, the answering and the timing of it is all on God's side, right? Are you here this morning? That's all God's responsibility. You know, and a lot of people today will offer their opinions, just like their dandelion spars. And you're like, and they would say, if I were God, we'll stop right there. You're not. If I were God, I would do this. It's such arrogance, really. Do you know that God knows how to be God, right? Are you here today? God knows how to be God. We don't. We're not a small g God, and we're not the creator God. And so our part is the asking in the alignment. We're going to leave the rest to God. We're going to leave the timing of it. We're going to leave the answering of it to God. Here's a common thing. You're 15 years old. God, I want to get married by the time I'm 25. In Jesus' name, amen. You're 26, and you're mad at God. God, I said when I was 15, 25, you had 10 years. You had 10 years to get it done. And God, look at me. You know what I'm saying? It would be easy to find somebody for me. Let me give you an illustration that will help you with some of your timing issues. Because again, everything, we just want it now. We're ready now. Do you buy your 2-year-old a hunting knife for Christmas if they want it? Why? Why don't you buy your 2-year-old a hunting knife for Christmas? They want it. They want it now. Why don't you give it to them? They're not ready. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor Brent, I'm ready. I'm going to stick with God on this one. You don't need that knife just yet, all right? So the qualifier is not just anything I want. It's what I want in accordance with the will of God. John 15, and we see this here also in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But if we cut that verse in half and we just read the last part, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. No, that's not what the verse says. Abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask. In other words, our asking will be conditioned by the word of God. God, what do you say? Those are the things that I'm going to be asking for. And then verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That God is glorified when his will is accomplished in your life. So the things that we're asking don't just start with me. Again, because if I'm just asking based on what I want, then I get the glory because I chose something and God gave it to me. But no, we're asking in accordance with the will of God. And then therefore God is glorified because here God's promise came to pass, not just what I wanted. This is why we're supposed to abide in God and have his word abide in me, changing me, conditioning me, governing my thoughts. And from that place, I ask. I'm aligned, and then I leave the timing. I leave the rest of it up to God. Amen? Praise God. So we want to hear the word of God. We want to walk in the word of God. We want to be aligned with him. So as we finish up this morning, we're going to see some things here according to the word of God that we can pray for, that we can all pray for. We're going to find this here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I think I have 2, but I think that's the first verse. Says this, first of all, I urge you, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Now, again, we talked about all those things at the beginning. Here we see, and these are all different things under the category of prayer. Be made for all people. So we have this readiness. We have this watchfulness that we're ready to pray. We're not going to pray later. We're gonna pray now. Situations are going to arise. We can pray for people. Verse 2. This is an important one. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Now, don't get stuck on the word kings. It's like, I don't have a king. We're talking about leaders of a nation, leaders of the city, leaders of the province. And it's not asking if you agree with them. You probably don't on all of the things they do, even the people you voted for. And again, does anybody have opinions on politicians and what they do? I got a lot of them. But my opinions, like your opinions, dandelion spores. It's not going to make a difference. They're not hearing me anyway, right? But you know, God can have influence on situations that you and I can't. So instead of exercising all of our passion about our political leaders, what should we do instead? What should we do first? Pray. God, I pray that you have influence on their heart. I pray that you change their heart. And here's another thing that helps us to understand prayer sometimes, or unanswered prayer. Anytime we're praying for a situation that involves another human's will, your prayers don't overshoot that person's will. How do we know this? Well, one of the ways we know this, have you ever disobeyed God? This is such a, the 10:15 is so holy. All of us have. That God told us to do something by his word or by his spirit, and we contravened it. We had the ability to choose, even though God was speaking to our hearts. When we pray, what does God do? God speaks to people's hearts, and they can either say yes or no. But we keep praying, right? We don't give up. Our opinions aren't going to make it better, but we can keep praying. We're going to persist in prayer. We're going to talk about that later in the series. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God. This pleases God, that we pray for our leaders. Not just giving our opinions. It pleases God when we pray. Listen, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's desire. This is God's will. Scripture says that the fields are white to harvest. Family members, friends that haven't made a decision to follow Jesus yet. This is the will of God for their lives. Well, what can I pray for so-and-so? Well, if they don't know Jesus, the first thing we would pray, that God, we pray that you send a laborer into their lives. God, I pray that you deal with their heart in the nighttime. As they sit and lie on their bed and they contemplate life and existence, I pray that you are speaking to their hearts, reminding them of the things that they were taught as a child. Amen. We just keep praying and we keep praying and we persist, because this is God's will for all people, that they would know Jesus. And then we can be the type of family, church family, where somebody could come in and say yes to Jesus. Amen. Let's just pray today. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We choose on purpose to align with your word. And God, we just take a moment to be aware of the people that you want us to pray for in our lives. Maybe the areas that we've just been offering opinions about our friends and about our loved ones, family members, people that maybe we're just angry at. God, help us to pray for them instead of just thinking about them or wondering about them. God, it is your will that they know you. So God, we persist. We persist to align ourselves with your word and your ways, to ask for the things according to your will, according to your word. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, before we leave this morning, we just read there that it is God's will for all people to be saved, all people to have a relationship with God. So if you're here this morning and you have never said yes to Jesus, never become a Christian, never made that confession to make Jesus your Lord, I'm gonna pray a prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me. This prayer is just a starting place in your relationship with God. It really is the invitation that we just read, that God wants all of us to have a relationship with God. The gospel, the good news, is all about Jesus, what he's accomplished for us, that he came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, that God just offers us a relationship as a gift with himself. And all we have to do is say yes. We don't qualify for a relationship with a holy God because of our perfection, because none of us are perfect. But God just offers it to us, and all we have to do is say yes. So if that's you this morning, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're here this morning that in the past you had a relationship with God, and maybe today you feel distant from him. You know, God is not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. You pray along with us as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes, and let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the very first time, or somebody who's rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways, and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen, amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision today? Come on, give them a round of applause this morning. So good. And hey, friend, if that was you, if you have decided to follow Jesus today, maybe it's your first time, or maybe you're rededicating your life, I really just want to encourage you, do not leave this place without telling someone about the best decision of your life. You can take the Connect card that's in the seat pocket right in front of you, mark off the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And you can bring that card over to the info desk, which is just under the circular staircase. And we have a team of people just ready to greet you with a huge smile and put some free resource in your hand as you begin your new journey of faith. So absolutely amazing that you made that decision this morning. Would you stand to your feet with me? Just one quick announcement. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them, I will see you tonight. We have our worship and prayer night tonight at 6 p.m. And I just really want to encourage you, if you have never been to one of our worship and prayer nights, do not miss it. We're going to have a beautiful time of just extended worship, some time for prayer. And bring your family, bring your friends, bring your grandma's friends, bring everybody, okay? It's going to be an incredible time tonight, 6 p.m. right here. And we can't wait to see you tonight. If you were hoping for somebody to pray with you or for you today, our prayer team is making their way down to the front. You can come chat with any one of them, and they would love to just pray with you for whatever you're believing for. Church, we love you. Have the most amazing Sunday. We will see you tonight at 6 p.m. at Worship and Prayer. Be blessed. You are dismissed.